Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or discuss your real-life issue. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in life, and many times we don't know where to turn or what to do. That's why we are here. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Jesus said this in John chapter 13. He's imparting truth into his disciples right before his death, burial, and resurrection. And this is one of those game-changing verses. And he says this, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other, and your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So what is the nature of our relationships one with another? Well, it should be based on the love of God, how God has loved us in Jesus Christ. As we abide in him, as we draw our very lives from him, we're going to see his love starting to take root inside of us and then starting to be expressed in our relationships one to another. So this month we've been talking about love, how love is really front and center in all of our relationships. We looked at 7 relationship builders, and now we're looking at 8 relationship destroyers. So if you want to destroy a relationship, here are some things to bring to the table. And this is what we naturally do. We're naturally envious. We look at others and we're envious of what they have. And we think, gosh, if I could just have that, I'll be happy. We boast. We love to boast. We're prideful. We're rude to one another. We're self-seeking. We are easily angered. We keep records of wrongs. Anything that anybody has done against me, it's just right up there in this old noggin. And I can pull it at a given notice. And then we delight in evil. That's what we do naturally, but that's not love. That's not the love of God. That's not who God is. That's not who Jesus is. He's the complete opposite of that. So if we're going to love others, then we have to first and foremost know how God has loved us. So yesterday we talked about envy and how that can be a relationship destroyer. Today we're going to look at this idea of boasting. And so in 1 Corinthians 13:4, we see this, love does not boast. And that particular word, it's the only time in the New Testament that it's used. And it really is referencing a braggart, somebody that just goes about and brags about everything. So braggarts brag and they boast. It's just what they do, but that's not God, and that's not what love is all about. And of course, we probably have all met people who love to boast. And they're not very fun to be around. You try to tell them a success or something that has happened good in your life, and they immediately turn it back to themselves and brag about their latest. They want to one-up you at every single turn. Well, that doesn't build relationships. That destroys relationships. And we have to realize that that's not of the Lord. The Bible actually calls it worldliness. John the Apostle wrote this, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." So boasting about what you have or boasting about what you do, that's not from God. That's a worldly attitude. So here's the reason. Boasting is nothing more than a lie. We boast about what we've done. We boast about what we have as if we were the source of those things. If we've been able to accomplish anything in life, it's because God has gifted us with skills and talents. Yes, we've cultivated those, but God was the giver. If we have anything, it's because God has given it to us. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So there's absolutely nothing for us to boast about. But yet we continue to do that. Why? Because we're so insecure in life. And if I can make somebody feel small in my presence, that's going to boost my ego. Yeah. That's why we boast so much, just for ourselves, to make us feel better. But that's not the way of God. That's not the way of the world. As a matter of fact, Paul had some pretty scathing words about those who boast, and as far as end times are concerned, didn't he, Richard?
Yeah, if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's talking about terrible times in the last days, and starting in verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and here's the kicker, having a form of godliness but denying its power.
And they're proud about that.
Yes.
They're boastful about that.
Yes.
They boast about, hey, look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. And that's in a religious context. Look what I've done for God. And when they say that, they're putting down someone else. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. But God isn't like that, and love certainly is not like that. And if we want to have healthy relationships, we shouldn't let those attitudes influence how we treat others. And here's the final kicker of all of this. God himself chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We hope that you'll come in and be a part of it. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. That's 1-800-677-9377. Something that really figures right into what we're talking about here, guys. Had an email from John from Corpus Christi, and he's going through some problems. And in this, in the email that he wrote, he gives a very, very solid clue. Pick up on the clue, and you can, I think we'll be able to discuss what the problem is with John. He says, why is it, after accepting Jesus as my personal Savior, and with a true heart, believe he rose from the dead, and was sacrificed for the atonement of all of our sins, that I still like to appeal to my lusts, such as looking at girls and having the desire to smoke marijuana or drink beer, even though I quit those two things because I was told that's what I needed to do before baptism? If Christ is in me, why do I have a heart to do these things?
Good question, and I think that's where most of us live. We all wonder why we keep falling back and doing those things that we used to do before we came to know Christ Jesus. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. The first is that we have yet to find our full contentment in Christ. We have yet to fully rest in him, realizing that in him we have everything that we need for life and godliness. So that's a big factor. I mean, if we're discontent in life, we're going to be looking. Our eyes are going to be roaming to and fro, trying to focus on that one thing that's going to fully satisfy us, to fully meet our soulish needs. And when that happens, oftentimes we'll go back to those things that we found comfort in before we knew the Lord. And that could be lust, it could be drinking, it could be all sorts of things. And so that's one of the things that you're struggling with, and I think that comes from a lack of contentment in Christ Jesus. The second thing is, just because we've come to Christ, those fleshly desires don't die, do they, Richard?
Oh, thank you.
No, they don't. I figured you had a lot of experience on that. And
no, they don't. And one of the things he said there, is I resemble his remark, I thought I had to give up all the bad stuff before I came to Jesus.
Yeah, that's what he was told he had to do.
Yes. And if you want to get hammered, try that. You know, okay, Lord, I've given it all up. I'm yours now. And Satan goes, oh, you're right where I want
you. Yeah, a pretty girl is just going to walk by at the most inopportune time.
And look at you, and you're dead meat. And you've got to come to Jesus for Jesus. And he's the one that does the changing, right? Right. We miss the resurrection in here. Now, I come to him and get forgiveness, but if that's where I stop, I'm in bad territory.
Yeah.
You get the forgiveness, you walk past the cross, you go to that empty tomb, and you say, wow, I'm alive. Mm-hmm. Everything is new, and there's something that the Spirit can do in me now that he could never do before. And then you learn how to be patient with yourself and let the Spirit change your mind and renew you from the inside out.
Well, it's a battleground that we all walk through so
many
times.
Yes, it is. And self-control, and that's what he's looking for in this particular instance, is self-control. Well, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
And so the Bible, especially the New Testament, is constantly talking to us about working out our salvation, because it is God who is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We see in Philippians where Jesus says, or Paul writes, that Christ is going to complete the work that he began in us. So this life that we have is Christ's life. And this life is now living inside of us. And God, through his Spirit, is going to show us the desires of this new life. They're there. And we simply choose to live those out by faith. And as we do, we will not fulfill or gratify the desires of the flesh. Yes. So those desires of the flesh aren't going to go away, but we don't have to give in to them, because there's a whole new set of desires in us that are there because of Christ, because Christ is alive living in us.
Yeah.
And if we'll recognize that and recognize that the responsibility of the Christian life lies on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and if we'll just abide in him, we'll see great things start to happen in our day-to-day experience.
Absolutely. John, I hope you're listening. I hope this has helped to explain some of the things that you're walking through. And if you have further questions, please drop us a line by email or give us a call on the broadcast at 1-800-677-9377. Friends, that's why we're here live every day, so that you can be a part of it. And we want you to come in right now if you have a question, something similar or something different, a particular Bible question or a life issue you're facing. This is a good opportunity to speak with Bob and Richard, and we'd love to hear from you right now at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Lucas Valley, New York, and talk with Gordon, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gordon.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Well, the pleasure's all mine, guys. You guys air a very needed medium to be able to discuss such topics, so I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you. How can we help you today?
I think what the young gentleman is seeking is just a way to subdue his passions. I mean, I don't remember where in the Bible it says this specifically, but Jesus is basically asking everyone to learn a way to subdue what they want. It's innate in all human beings to lust after and to want so many things. But basically, I think what the Lord is just trying to do is say, look, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you ways to get that which you need. And the things that you want, well, that's what you're going to have to work for. And I think basically that's the general gist, in that no matter where you are and you're going to want things, I think it's the learning process. I think Jesus is saying, look, to do good work, it takes effort. And, you know, I'm going to give you a way to have the basics. Here's what you're
going to
need to do to get the stuff you want.
Well, Gordon, Peter, in his second letter, concluded it with these words, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we grow in grace, the grace of God that's been extended to us in Jesus Christ, as we grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see transformation take place. We're going to learn how to walk by faith, and that's the key. All the Bible calls us to is a life of faith. One of my favorite verses is in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So that is a verse that really summarizes the Christian life from our standpoint. And that life is a life of trust. Now, the New Testament takes that word and spells it out in different ways. For example, walking in the Spirit is exactly the same as trusting in the Lord. Abiding in Christ, that's the same exact thing. So as we learn to abide in Christ, abide in the love of God, then we will see this Christian life starting to take shape in and through us. So if we'll get a hold, Gordon, of this life of faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to see the fruit of the Spirit in abundance in our day-to-day experience. Well, Gordon, good.
I agree.
Well, Gordon, good comments today. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of this book, Love Is. It really talks about exactly what you have brought to the table today. And this is something that we want to put in the hands of all of our listeners. And we would like to do that for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. But, Gordon, we're going to send it to you. You hold the line, okay, my friend?
And, Bob, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a hold of the book for a gift of any amount, you can do that by going to basicgospel.net and just requesting your copy, a prominent link right there on the homepage. Again, basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator right now, as a matter of fact, at 1-800-727-2828. The bottom line is support the ministry, support this message. We love to connect people with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do that with this ministry called Basic Gospel, and you're a vital, vital part of that. So go online, make that gift, and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go out to San Francisco, California, and talk to Manga, who's listening to us on KDIA. Welcome, Manga. How
can
we help you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a question. I'm 40 years a Christian. I went to Bible school. I am 83 years old, and I was approached in my church by a lady, and she said there are more ways to God, so the cross can bypass, because she's a Buddhist. She was a Christian. She was married to a Christian. She divorced him. She married a Buddhist. She came back to the church, and now she wants to implement this new theory. What should I do? I wrote to the superintendent, and he told me to go before the board, and I did, but nothing changed. She goes out. She prays over people, but she is not a Christian.
Well, Manga, you know, if the leadership is aware of what's happening within the church,
yes,
okay,
say reprimand me. I don't have enough love, quasi. You know, that has nothing to do with love. I don't hate that lady. I want her to be saved.
Well,
the
I think why Manga, I think why you're interested in this is because you're interested in all of those folks that are attending that particular church, and you don't want a controversy to grow that's going to cause confusion, and
so you want
the pastor to make a solid stand on what the Word of God says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's truth. Now, we can think there are other ways to God, but there are no other ways to God. Jesus Christ is the mediator that stands between God and man. There is no other way than Jesus Christ. So you would like to hear the pastor and the leadership really take a firm stand on that. And why that's important, Manga, is because that is the most loving thing that we can do. If somebody had cancer and there was a doctor who had found the cure for cancer, the most loving thing to do would be for us to point the people we know with cancer to that one doctor. Well, others might say, well, there's a lot of great doctors out there, and we don't want to offend any of those. And so we need to say, hey, there are many people working with cancer victims. It was like, well, they don't have the cure. They can't solve that cancer problem. Only this guy can. I'm not being exclusive. I'm not being dogmatic. I'm being as loving as I possibly can. Why? Because I want you to go free of cancer. And when we say to people that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, it's because we want them to experience true life in Christ. There is no other place to go to find life, to find everlasting life. So, Manga, you are being the most loving that you can be in trying to point people to truth. Don't be swayed by other folks saying that you need to be this or to be that. Continue to point that person to the Lord. Continue to point that person to the Scripture, and allow God's Spirit to do His work there.
I probably have to leave the church because I approached the two pastors, and you know she pays a lot of money. She gives $45,000 each year to the church, so they actually depend on her. I think I should probably leave, because she puts out bribes. The new pastor took rent from her, they have houses, they are multimillionaires. But she wants to bring Buddhism into the church because she said her husband is a Buddhist and there are more ways to God. So
I think the Lord has put in your heart and mind a path for you to take, and I think you know exactly what you need to do there. But we sure appreciate your call today, because because you raise a very, very important subject. We think communicating truth can be very dogmatic and can be offensive, but in reality, it's the absolute most loving thing that we can do. Truth sets people free. That's what we want folks to experience.
Yeah.
Well, Manga, let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Paul, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Paul.
Hi, gentlemen. Good day. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
I just want to know if I have the right frame of thought, and I just want to make sure that what I'm experiencing, you know, is the right thing. I feel that I ought to be water baptized in order to experience the full glory and to really experience God's glory. And by going through this process of water baptism.
Well, Paul, let me just jump in right there for time's sake. Paul, I think we'll clear this up for you. He said, Christ in you is your hope of glory. I had a similar thought as you. I grew up in a Methodist church. I was baptized as an infant. I really came to know Christ in a positive and real way my senior year in college, and there was something in me that says I should get water baptized, I should be immersed. And boy, I went into that with all kinds of expectations, thinking that everything was going to be different, and that wasn't necessarily the case. It's when I discovered Christ in me as my hope of glory that things started to change, and I started to experiencing all that Christ had for me. So it's Christ. It's not about what we do. It's about Jesus. But Paul, great question. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of this book, Love Is, as well. I think it will point you in the right direction. Okay, my friend? You hang on.
And we have a specific financial need between now and the end of the month.
Yes, we do, and we certainly appreciate those who have responded over the last three or four days. We see some momentum starting to build. We still need about $65,000 between now and the end of the month. And if you can help with a gift of $25, $50, $100, well, you go to basicgospel.net and make a contribution right now, or call 1-800-727-2828. We need your help. This is a wonderful place to minister and serve. We would love for you to be a partner with us.
And again, that's basicgospel.net. You'll find that prominent link right on the homepage. And of course, for a gift of any amount, we'll give you a copy of Bob's book called Love Is. That's for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And you can make that gift right now by going online to basicgospel.net or calling our operator right now at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 to support the ministry and get a free copy of Bob's book, Love Is. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll do it again. So now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.